Welcome into another edition of the Dana Victory Podcast, only available on musketeerreport.com. I am Rick, he is Dan, and Dad, we're back again with one of these special breaking news type podcasts, as over the weekend, Sunday afternoon, while on an official visit, Quentin Gooden became the newest member of the 2016 class.
Yeah, that's true. And this podcast, you'll note, being recorded under better conditions until somebody pulls a tractor up in my family room right behind me, like last time, I guess.
Yeah, that gator sounded great. We do apologize for that, by the way. It completely screwed up what I thought was a good podcast. So, you know, still working out the kinks in the live shows.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. So Quentin Gooden, I think this is kind of one of those deals where you get so focused on one particular player for so long that seems to be the leader for a particular spot in a class. A guy kind of comes, you know, you would almost say out of nowhere, but that's not really the case with Quentin Gooden. I mean, this is a really highly regarded prospect, a guy who seems to have a really high ceiling. And the fact that we, you know, we're kind of focused in on Xavier Simpson as this potential next commit, I think kind of caused him to fly under the radar a little bit. And I'm not sure, you know, reading up on some of the news articles that have come out of Kentucky in the last few days, that's fair. I mean, this is a kid who's considered by at least the sports writers for the Lexington Herald Leader and the Louisville Courier Journal as one of the favorites, or perhaps the favorite going into his senior year for Mr. Basketball in the Commonwealth. So this is not a guy who this is not some under the radar prospect.
Well, and Dan, the thing about it is the reason he kind of seemed under the radar for Xavier for a while was because everyone thought he was going to Louisville, and like Xavier didn't have a chance, because when he was like, you know, sophomore into junior year, he kind of quit mentioning Xavier during his junior year, even though Xavier had been recruiting him since he was, you know, freshman going into sophomore season. So really it felt like a recruitment that Xavier had kind of fell out of for a while going into that junior year, or, you know, really maybe beginning of junior year and winter. And then coming into the spring, all of a sudden, he really started mentioning Xavier a lot again. And I think, you know, the whole thing of potentially wanting to go to Louisville early on really kind of he seemed to fall out of favor with the Louisville staff, as they didn't recruit him, I think, the way he would have liked early on. And he was more loyal to the teams that did show him a lot of love and really recruited him hard. And of course, his relationship with Chris Shumate at Western Kentucky sort of shows how loyal of a guy he is. The fact that Western Kentucky was maybe, you know, the number two school behind Xavier, or maybe number three, it kind of shows the way Quentin thinks about these relationships and the teams that had shown him the love for the longest. I think that played a huge role in Xavier landing him. But I mean, you're right, it did, because we had talked about Xavier Simpson for so long. And like I said, Quentin Gooden, I really didn't think Xavier had much of a chance last winter, because he had completely quit mentioning him. And he's mentioning most of, you know, Louisville blue blood type programs. Even Kentucky was showing interest. But he's been a guy who's been highly regarded in the state as a long time. He's super athletic. And I think that's where you start when you look at this commitment for Xavier, because Dan, a few years ago, it seemed like Xavier really struggled to put the ball in the basket. Scoring was hard. They were tough. They could defend, but scoring was really difficult for him. The last few recruiting classes, the staff stockpiled skilled guys who could put the ball in the basket. And all of a sudden last year, they were really able to execute and run some great things on the offensive end, but struggled in the new Big East to keep up with the athletic teams like St. John's and the tougher teams that were more physical and more versatile. Now you're seeing in this 2016 class, the staff is getting back to that point of getting length and athleticism and toughness. First Tyreek Jones, now Quentin Gooden. And Quentin Gooden is huge in this regard, because he's a 6'4", 185-pound point guard who's going to be absolutely shredded in terms of his strength. And, I mean, he's super quick. He can, you know, he plays above the rim. He's a big-time athlete. And it when you look at what the staff thinks they're going to be able to get out of Edmund Sumner, pairing him with Quentin Gooden gives Xavier the potential to run out of lineup similar to what like St. John's had last year in Rashid Jordan and D'Angelo Harrison. That gave Xavier so much problems. You're big, you're tough, you're athletic on both ends. It's really intriguing, this commitment, even more so than had they landed Xavier Simpson. And I don't think that's ruled out. We'll talk about that later. But I think this one is really intriguing when you talk about what they needed on this team, which is an upgrade in their athleticism and their length. And he really does that at the point guard position.
Yeah, and I mean, his high school numbers that really pop off the page. He of course played at Taylor County High School in Kentucky, took them all the way to the Sweet 16 or up. That was the first time that school had reached the Sweet 16 in over 30 years. And he averaged 21 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2.5 steals. Guy that really does it all. But the interesting thing was reading some of the quotes from his high school coach, who talked about how coachable he was, a guy that, despite being super talented and probably one of the more talented guys to go through that program, that he was very coachable, that the quote from the coach, whose name is Rich Gatewood, is, you see a lot of kids who shoot 25 shots to score 25 points. He's let me coach him hard, which a lot of people will not do. And it's kind of interesting that he seems to be a coachable kid, which I think is something that the Xavier staff will really like, in addition to the obvious physical gifts he brings.
Yeah, and everything I've heard, you know, you never, as a media guy who I've talked to him, I've interviewed and I've watched him a fair amount play, but, you know, most of the kids are fairly respectful when they talk to us and they put on, you know, put their best foot forward. And Quentin, though, from what I've heard, like Jody Demling, for instance, who's been really close to Quentin and his family throughout and been close to the situation because he lives in that area, and Evan Daniels, who also lives in that area, all those people talk about how great of a kid he is, just like his high school coach does. And you know, I think that, you know, Chris Mack has kind of continued to build this locker room and the chemistry in this locker room. It's been important to him over the last few recruiting classes. And I think this is just another example of that.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly see the quotes about his personality and his qualities as a teammate remind you a lot of what we read about Larry Austin before he came in. And that's been the case so far. So definitely good news. Let's talk about Gooden as a defensive player first. He seems like a guy that has all the tools to be an outstanding defender at the college level.
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you look at a guy with his physical makeup, you got to say he's going to be good enough right off the bat. You know, he's able to match up with pretty much anyone that you're going to throw out there at the guard positions. And really, he's kind of a versatile defender. He can probably guard a 1 through 3, depending, you know, I mean, you get into some more 6-7 type threes, maybe that'll be difficult for him, but I don't even know, because he is tough and athletic. So he can guard a lot of different guys in the backcourts and on the wing. And that's going to give Xavier some more options. And depending on what lineups, you know, they want to play, you can start hiding some skilled guys, you know, a Miles Davis type player. You know, they won't spend a whole lot of time playing together, obviously, but that type of skilled guy, you can get away with a lot easier with a Quentin Gooden in your backcourt. You can guard the best backcourt player of the other team. And I think right away, he's going to be able to get on the court early because of those physical gifts. But as he learns how to play team defense, learns Xavier's system, and really focuses in and understands what it takes at the college level, which is you can't take possessions off. You have to play hard every time. You've got to be tough. You got to fight through every screen, all that type of stuff. When he gets that down, I think he has a chance to be, you know, a lockdown defender and really an elite defender in the Big East.
Right. And then on the offensive end, I mean, when you read about his skill set, I know you don't love player comparisons, but he actually seems to profile not completely dissimilarly to Samaje Christen. Is that fair or unfair?
No, I mean, and you said it. I hate to say it, but this one I do think is similar. You know, I mean, Brian Snow and I talked about it on the last podcast we did together, where Gooden's already definitely a better shooter than Samaje Christen at the same age, and it's really not even that close. And I don't think he's quite as skilled of a passer, and maybe doesn't have quite the feel Samaje did. You know, Samaje kind of took a bad rap in his time at Xavier because he became such a ball dominant go-to scorer out of necessity for that team. They just didn't have enough offense to go with him, so he had to take on that role. But Samaje averaged 10 assists a game in high school and really was a great passer coming into Xavier, and still has that feel, and he's shown that even at the NBA level. So I don't think Quentin maybe has that skill quite as good as Samaje, but he showed great strides in that regard this July. I thought he really passed the ball well and showed the traits of a lead guard who can run an offense and distribute as well. But the thing I've always loved about him, watching him ever since his sophomore year of high school, is just his ability to break down defenders, you know, one-on-one, off the bounce. He's very difficult to keep keep in front. And that's where the comparison to Samaje comes in, obviously, because that's why Samaje is, you know, still getting the looks that he's getting, is because guys can't keep him in front of him. He's just too quick and athletic and tough. And that's how Gooden is. You know, he's really tough to keep out of the lane. And when you get those paint touches and you have shooters like Xavier has ready to go here, you know, the Trayvon Blewitts, JP McCurrys, you have those type of guys on the wings, they're going to get a lot of opportunities with a guy like Quentin Gooden getting in the lane. And when you pair him with another playmaker in Edmund Sumner, it gets really intriguing for the Xavier offense. And I think, you know, one of the interesting things about Gooden is in my opinion, this has kind of been Chris Mack's favorite guy all along. Like, Chris Mack has always really been high on Quentin Gooden. I think he had to convince his staff more so early on that Quentin was one of their top targets. Whereas, you know, Xavier Simpson, I think, had a little more support from like Travis Steele's and the lead recruiters who spend more time doing that type of thing during the season. So, you know, obviously Mack relies on them a lot, but I think Mack is really thrilled to land Quentin Gooden.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that the knock on Gooden, if there is one, is that he hasn't been a great 3-point shooter or an outside shooter, so guys can go under the screen. But he actually did shoot 32% from 3-point range last season in high school, 51% overall from the floor. And I think one thing that Xavier fans will like to hear is that not only does he get to the foul line a lot, he shoots a really good percentage once he's there. He's about 75%. And certainly you would think that in the Xavier system, he would improve that a little bit just from the increased amount of practice and reps he would get. So a lot of really positive signs with Quentin Gooden. So this becomes the second commitment for Xavier in this 2015 or 16, I guess, class, with Tyreek Jones, the post guy. And I guess now, where do you see Xavier going with the rest of this this class? Because they've gotten their point guard, they've gotten a big man. We think they're going to go after another big man, but it seems like they've got a lot of ways they could go with a potential fourth scholarship, including potentially sitting on it until closer to enrollment and seeing what shakes up with maybe a decommit or a transfer.
Yeah, I'd say they're almost certain to add one, and not certain, but it's very likely that they add at least one more high school prospect. And what that is, very much up in the air still in terms of position. And then if they get a guy they really like, and then there's still another one on the board that they have a good shot of landing, they'll continue to recruit for that fourth spot as well. But there's no pressure on them to land and fill that fourth spot at all. And I don't think, you know, I think they would be just fine pocketing it and having an extra scholarship to kind of work with and have free. Now, when you talk about who is on the board and what direction they're going to go in, I think you have to start with the point guard's position still, because that's the big question mark. Like, they had what made the Quentin Gooden commitment so big was that they were in on those three really good point guards. I mean, any of those, Xavier Simpson, Quentin Gooden, or Kobe Simmons, was going to be a great get for Xavier. But the problem was, when you shoot for the stars like that, you got to land one of them. When you kind of put all your eggs in those baskets, you better get one of them. And that wasn't guaranteed, considering the teams they were recruiting against in all three recruitments. So now that they landed Quentin, now it all of a sudden gets really interesting, because Xavier Simpson is still interested, from what I've heard. And Quentin Gooden and Xavier Simpson are friends. They're comfortable with each other. They played on the same team at NBA Players Camp. Not that that means a whole lot, but they seem to get along good enough. And obviously you saw the Twitter exchange, which, again, doesn't mean a whole lot, but it certainly adds a little more intrigue to the situation. And I've told that Xavier's staff has been in constant communication with Xavier Simpson the night before Quentin committed. You know, if that tells you a little something. And then they talked about it with Quentin and his father, started that conversation, you know, asked what they thought. Obviously, you saw Quentin say, "You're next," on Twitter, back to Xavier Simpson. So I think there's a possibility that everyone would be okay with this, and it's not going to hurt. You know, it's not going to ruffle feathers with Quentin. And I think Xavier's still very much interested in coming to Xavier, even though there's another guard, because quite frankly, those two can absolutely play together. I mean, they have different skill sets, and Xavier Simpson is a guy who really, as a distributor, he's going to make people better. So Quentin Gooden, even if it means he's not always on the ball when he plays with Xavier Simpson, probably understands how much it could benefit him as a scorer. And I think, you know, while he I think Xavier can sell them on, they've done such a good job with the two guard system and that ball screen motion offense where it's like, look, D Davis and Samaje Christen did it together. You know, two Holloway and Mark Lyons did it together. We let both guys bring the ball up. It really doesn't matter who we designate as the point guard so much. I think you can really make that sales pitch to both guys, and I think they're going to. I mean, I think there's still a chance that Xavier Simpson ends up at Xavier. The Kobe Simmons thing, I just don't think is as likely. One, those two don't really fit together as well when you're talking about Kobe and Quentin. And it's not – they're so redundant. They're both ball dominant and break guys down off the dribble, get into the lane. Not that you wouldn't play them and you couldn't play them together, because they're both good enough that you certainly could. But I think it's a little tougher to sell to both of them. And to be quite honest, the other thing is there's no guarantee that Xavier can get Kobe Simmons. Like, yes, they were in a pretty good spot in a dark horse in the recruitment, so to speak. But they're still a long way from finishing this thing out. I don't know that they're going to be all gung-ho about still trying to land him after they've got Quentin Gooden. We'll see, but it just doesn't sound likely from what I've heard. They haven't talked to him, and maybe they did later this afternoon, but as of this morning, Monday morning, that is, they had not talked to him or his family since the Quentin Gooden commitment. So just seems like it's probably unlikely at this point.
Game planning the Simpson situation out. I mean, what do you see as the next steps there? I know he's got a couple visits, but they keep it pretty canny about where he's going. So,
yeah, I mean, I'll say this. If you happen to see all of a sudden he's coming to visit to Xavier, I would say expect a commitment. If there becomes another visit to Xavier at any point, I'd say it's almost a certain he's coming to commit. Now, does he need to take another visit before to commit? No, not at all. But he's close enough. It'd be easy enough. And I could see it happening. So I'd say that'd sort of be the thing to watch for as the next step right now. Or the other thing would be, is he going to take these other visits? Because quite honestly, from what I've heard, it's kind of more of a situation where if everyone sort of decides on things and it moves quickly, then he may just commit. Like, he may just be ready to do that at this point. And I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's a very fluid situation right now. This is so up in the air. It's a lot to sort of process and speculate on. But it from what I've heard, there's very much things going on still here with Xavier Simpson, Xavier University, and Quentin Gooden. And I think that could very much work still.
Well, that would be a really interesting development, and I think would be that'd be really exciting to have two outstanding guards like that come in at the same time and have 4 years together, especially two guys that apparently know each other and are comfortable playing together. Certainly the Mark 2 years were very profitable for Xavier. They went very well. And you do kind of wonder, you look back at Samaje's freshman year and you wonder if Lyons had been able to stay, if he'd, you know, not made himself persona non grata, and if Wells had been around, that team probably would have been really good, and it would have really been interesting good to see how Samaje would have played with Mark in that backcourt. But anyway, I guess the other recruiting news, that Dylan Painter got a Villanova offer, which makes that much more difficult for the Musketeers. So would the odds kind of shift to Tarian Thompson as the more likely big man commit at this point?
I'd say that's probably accurate. You know, you center obviously is sort of maybe the next biggest position of need. I don't know that there really is a huge need at this point, or that they really know what that need is until they play this season and maybe find out, oh, this guy isn't panning out the way we thought or whatever. So obviously center is something they're still looking at. And when it comes to Dylan Painter, I think now the sort of standings in his recruitment are probably one, Villanova, and then 2A and 2B is Penn State and Xavier. And obviously the thing about Villanova and Penn State, they're much closer. I think he's interested in staying close to home. I think Xavier's done a really good job in his recruitment, and he really likes Xavier. But it basically at this point, Xavier has to hope that he's sort of upset that Villanova didn't offer earlier. You know, they watched him a long time without offering, and they I think Xavier just has to hope that he is loyal to the early work that the staff put in and the confidence they showed early when they offered back in the spring, as opposed to waiting till after July. But, you know, I knew Villanova didn't offer back then because they knew they had to be ready to take a commitment right away if they did offer. And So that's why they waited, and they're probably still in a really good spot. I'd definitely rank them first. Torian Thompson, though, you know, Snow likes Torian Thompson a little bit more than Painter. He's seen Torian Thompson more than I have. The few times I've seen Torian, I think he's a little more raw than Dylan is offensively, but he really fits in with, you know, this whole concept of Xavier upgrading the athleticism, upgrading the versatility. He's agile. He can hedge ball screens the way that Xavier wants to, and Xavier might be the leader for him right now. So they're in a good spot with that one. So yeah, I would definitely agree with you that that's probably where that stands. Torian Thompson now maybe the more likely target at the center spot.
Yeah, I mean, the 2016, the nice thing about whoever the kid they bring in, it's not somebody, if it is somebody that's a little bit more raw, they're not going to have to really contribute from jump, because you're going to have Rashid Gaston, you're going to have Sean O'Mara, you're going to have Kaiser Gates that can play the four, you're going to have Tyreek Jones, obviously, that'll play the four. So they're going to have some big men, and they're going to have some bodies down low. So they could take on a project if they think it's a guy that's going to project to have a real high ceiling. Mackenday London also would be in that mix. So yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things that I really like about Gooden, and you made the point in your breakdown, is that he seems to have a very high ceiling. And this is a kid that has not, you know, played his best basketball yet. And you look at the, you know, 6'4" guy with a big frame that can add some muscle, who already has the reputation of being a very physical powerhouse of a point guard. You know, it's pretty fascinating to think about what he could do with a couple months under his belt with Coach Jennings.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Dan, I really do believe that Quentin Gooden has the potential to be as good of a player as Xavier has brought in. I mean, he has that type of potential. Now, he has a long way to go to get there, but he has the ability, he has the physical tools, you know, he has all the things you want to go into that. And to be quite honest, low-key, the staff right now is absolutely giddy about Edmund Sumner. And I think they feel similar about Quentin Gooden in terms of, when he gets on campus and he goes through all the college work and gets the right instruction and all the reps and all the skill work in, he has the potential to really accelerate his progress quickly the way Sumner has. And they're really excited about him. And the two together, you know, I mentioned in an article, they were on the same team in the open gym when they ran up a campus. And from what I heard, they were pretty ridiculous together in terms of just coming downhill and driving into the lane and just playmaking. And that's, you know, that's what they're looking for. So it's definitely going to be interesting. You know, we mentioned the big men again, a couple other names to keep an eye on that they're still going to recruit. Kevin Marfo, New England area guy, who's, you know, I'm not exactly sure where his recruitment stands, but they're definitely in the mix. And I just don't think he's too close to making a decision. Although he's added a lot of offers in July. He played really well in July. Eddie Ikior, another guy, he's from Canada, and he's a guy who's added some offers, but has Xavier probably in top three or four schools right now. I just don't know how close he is to a decision either. James Banks seems fairly unlikely to me at this point. I think he's going to go a little, you know, I think he's just got so many offers and some big time programs near his home recruiting him that it's probably more likely he stays around that area. And I don't think he's very far in his recruitment at all at this point. And then finally, Sadiq Keita, another name to still keep an eye on. Xavier was in a really good spot early on, but quite honestly, his academic situation just doesn't look good at all, and it doesn't seem like he'll be able to qualify. So they really didn't spend much time watching him at all in July, but you never know. It's if something happens there and he is able to qualify, it's a name to certainly keep on the back burner that could pop up late if Xavier doesn't get a big man here in, you know, in the next few months, say. The other spot, Dan, that they're still recruiting is an athletic wing. They, you know, they could still stand to get another guy, you know, maybe a 6'7", 6'6", type like Xavier Seed. And, you know, Illinois, I would say, is probably the team to beat for him right now. Steele's half brother, John Gross, obviously has put in a ton of work and really wants him. So I think they're probably in the lead. But Kansas State and Xavier are probably running second and third in that recruitment. Xavier has some ground to make up in this one. And I don't know that Mac really made him much of a priority during during July. I don't know that he was the top guy that they felt they had to get. So I'm not exactly sure where they stand with that. And another guy who's kind of in that mold is Jagan Mosley. Another name to keep an eye on. He seems like things have heated up a little bit more with him recently. The staff watched him and Miles Powell on the New Jersey players all throughout July. And I've heard they're in pretty good with Mosley. And that's another Luke Murray recruit. So it'd be crazy to see him land two guys in his first class. He's not as long as they'd like, only about 6'3", 6'4", maybe, but he's athletic, tough, pretty versatile. I think he could, you know, again, play the two or the three for them, depending on the lineups that they're running out there. So definitely another name to keep an eye on at that sort of athletic wing spot.
Well, you know, one of the things about, and I think you mentioned this previously, that one of the things about bringing in an assistant like Luke Murray, who is a really good recruiter that was at a lower profile school like Rhode Island, is that, you know, if he's got a guy that he's working that he really likes that was a reach at Rhode Island, he moves to Xavier, all of a sudden, you know, it's a fit. Right. So I think that, so it wouldn't surprise me if Luke Murray is active over the next couple classes, because he's probably put in work on some guys that are going to be right, that if they rise out of where they were, are going to be right in Xavier's wheelhouse.
Well, and that's an interesting point, because the jump, you know, from Rhode Island to Xavier isn't so drastic. I mean, it's reasonable that Rhode Island's going to be recruiting the same guys that Xavier ends up getting, you know, eventually. So that
vice versa. I mean, EC Matthews, for example.
Right, right. I mean, that's a very rare exception. Wasn't a super bond, you know, when they hired the family AAU coach as an assistant. So that was a little bit of an extraordinary situation. I don't think you'll see that very often again. But I mean, yeah, exactly. It's not a drastic gap between the two schools, where sometimes we've seen, you know, an assistant come from somewhere much smaller than that, or somewhere that's just not really recruiting the same kids that Xavier is going to recruit. So yeah,
and as you know, I'm a huge Dan Hurley fan, so I think Rhode Island's going to be bubbling up to the top of the A-10 in the next few years anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Editorial comment. Okay, anything else you want to talk about? Reds reboot?
No, not at all. What about the fight? Did you like the fight at all? I didn't even watch the video.
Well, I was there on Saturday night when Bird almost got hit in the head. And that was kind of scary, and it was really awful to see. So it didn't surprise me that there was a fight the next day.
All right.
But
you grade the fight? Was it any good? Should I go watch it on YouTube after this?
No, it was really stupid.
Okay.
It was stupider than most baseball fights.
That's saying something.
I'll tell you this. What was more entertaining was reading C. Trent's Twitter feed afterwards with all the Pittsburgh fans who, I guess, think that he's telling the Reds pitchers to throw at Pirates batters or something like that. I don't know.
Interesting.
That guy seems to take a lot of abuse, C. Trent.
He's a bit of a lightning rod.
Well, I think people seem to have a misunderstanding of what exactly his job entails. Like, he's not the manager of the team.
No, he does not set the lineups, as he likes to say.
Right. Or make pitching changes, or, you know, or calculate Brandon Phillips's on base percentage.
Dan, what was your final thoughts from the World Series game? Any post game thoughts afterwards other than the screwed up audio?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously appreciate all the guys coming over and talking to us. I got to say, Jalen Reynolds, much softer spoken guy than I expected.
He was in Clark Kent mode.
Yeah, I would say that's true. Definitely a more personality, or more of a big personality on the court, more and at practice too. I mean, we've seen him get pretty intense, you know, getting into it with Stainbrook and occasionally Mike Pegues. They, you know, they have their battles at practice, but yeah, I mean, it's he really nice kid, as is James Farr, obviously. And it was nice talking to Coach Pegues, Coach Mack. We saw Andy Mack there very briefly, which is always good to see. That's a good sign that the basketball season's coming.
And we're the first people to interview Matt Stainbrook this entire summer without asking him about Uber.
That's true. Although you did kind of alluded to it.
I didn't mention Uber. I avoided it completely.
Okay. Well, now
I insinuated it.
Well, now we've done it, so I guess it's kind of screwed up now.
Yeah.
But anyway, I mean, it's a good event. You know, maybe next year they can do it on a Saturday so more people could come out, because I could definitely see that being something that would be pretty popular for fans during the summer.
Yeah, no question. But, I think, what would you say, about 50 people? Is that
I was going to say 100, but I think all of the wives of the coaches and various staff members like watched two innings and then left.
Fair enough.
Which I don't blame them. It was pretty hot.
Yeah, and it got out of control quickly because, as we predicted, Team Farr drafted properly. Team Able, not so much.
But, right, and Team Farr scored so many runs in one inning that I kind of just gave up on my scorecard. Or I ran. I think there was a. I actually contend to this point, Rick, and you've got my score, the score sheet that I kept. But I contend that the score was wrong, and Team Farr scored an additional run, and it should have been 25-5.
Sounds like a conspiracy to me. We'll bring it up to compliance and see what becomes of it. Probably a secondary violation or something, I would assume.
Okay, and then the last question is: do you think that Coach Mack actually caught the fish that he tweeted the picture of, or was that someone else in his party's fish?
No, I'm going to say he caught that one. But I mean, pretty good foreshadowing, right? By Coach Mack, him reeling in the big fish the night before he gets the Quentin Gooden commitment.
Do you think that what do you think about him going to the Kid Rock concert says about does that? Does
this
that
is the fifth time he's gone to the Kid Rock concert. And 2 years ago, me and him were at the same concert, Kid Rock concert at Riverbend. And I'm not proud of that fact at all.
I'm really disturbed right now. I think it's time to go.
Zipper noise.
Zipper noise.
You've been listening to another edition of the Dana Victory Podcast, only available on musketeerreport.com. For Dan, I'm Rick. Thanks for listening, everyone.